Okay, Kedushas Levi for Parshas Mitzora.
It's a double Parsha this week. Tav Shanayin Ches. Okay, we want to dedicate today's shir again for the neshama of Avram Ben Herschel, whose yahrzeit was yesterday, and whose son very generously sponsored the shir, gave a donation to Tzedakah on behalf of his father, and we will learn in his memory and in his merit. Okay, we'll skip the first little piece of Mitzora. We'll go to the second piece. And that's it. That's the big piece. That's the big piece of Parshas Mitzora. One big piece. Pasuk says, it's in the Mitzora and Parak Tazvav Pasuk Yudches, V'isha asher yishkav ish osa shichvas zara. Now we're going to learn, I just have to pause for a second. We're going to learn today, again, something of a somewhat delicate nature. Obviously, for a person who's married, there's more to understand here. But for one who's not yet married, there's still a specific hashkafa with regard to husband and wife, and a general hashkafa with regard to all mitzvos that emerges. But the pasuk describes an isha asher yishkav ish osa shechva zara, a woman who has a intimate relationship with a man, not an illicit one, an appropriate one, her husband, right? And now says the Torah, v'rachatzu b'mayim, they shall immerse in water, v'tam'u ad ha'aref, and they remain tamei. So sexual intercourse makes a person tamei, and they have to go to the mikvah. Okay? If you look in Rashi says, and I have a chumash, I want to read you the whole Rashi first, and then we'll see what the Berditchver wonders about this Rashi, and explains the Rashi with tremendous depth. V'rachatzu b'mayim, they shall immerse themselves in water, says Rashi, gzeras melechi. This is a decree of the king. Now, a decree of the king usually means, do it because God says so, we don't understand it. What don't we understand about this tuma? Gzeras melechi shetitma ha'isha. It's hard for us to understand why the woman becomes impure. Through what? Bibia, through intercourse. Ve'ein hatam mishum nogeya b'shechva zera. And it's not because she had contact with the zera. Why? Because when we talk about contact takes place on the outside of one's body. So for example, let's say a woman goes to the mikvah. She's not allowed, let's say a man goes to the mikvah. Right? It's certainly in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, so there's much more sensitivity to these things. So a woman can't have a chatzitza. There can't be a chatzitza. There can't be anything between her and the water. She can't go in a bathing suit, she has to go with nothing separating her body from the water. Okay? And to be fully immersed in the water. So if she has some sticky substance that got stuck to her arm, yeah? She was painting. She painted her wall that day. And there's some paint that's on her skin. She has to first remove the paint before she's able to go to the mikvah. There can't be anything separating her body from, if there's dead skin, a woman spends a long time preparing herself before she goes to the mikvah to make sure that if there's any dead skin, if there's any, you know, fingernails, if there's anything that needs to be, that doesn't belong there, that it should be removed. Okay? She has, marker on her hands or crayons because she was coloring with her child that day. So she'll scrub her hands and take a shower and a bath and remove whatever that substance is that's preventing her from... Now, obviously, right, she can't have any substance on the outside of her body. Obviously, there are many things inside of her body. Right? Let's say she had lunch that day and it's not fully digested in her stomach. So is that a chatzitza? No, of course not. Right? The internal organs and everything else that's inside of a person is not separating her from the water. We're only concerned what's on the outside of her body. And things that are not permanently attached to her body. Let's say a woman has braces. She can go to the mikvah. If she has braces, she doesn't have to remove her braces to go to the mikvah. That's attached to her body. It's part of her body. Okay? So any external contact with something is going to prevent her, in my example, of going to the mikvah. Right? The same thing is true with making contact with something. So here, through being with her husband, through the intimacy with her and her husband, she's not coming into contact with the zera. Rather, says Rashi, shreimaga beis hastarim hu, because the contact with the zera takes place internally. So therefore, she shouldn't really become tamei because of the hotza zera that emerged inside of her. Okay, I think I've said enough. So therefore, says Rashi, gzeras hamelech. It's a decree of the king, even though the contact that she had with the tuma, with her husband's seed, was internally, but gzeras hamelech, that both of them need to go to the mikvah. Okay? Okay. So says the Riditzvah, let's ask a general question. Let's ask a specific question about the intimacy of husband and wife. Again, it's a delicate matter. But then we'll use it to explore kavanah and mitzvahs in general. He asks a very simple question. What's the first mitzvah in the Torah? Puribu. It's not only the first mitzvah of the Torah in terms of being the first mitzvah of the Torah, but there's something that the Svarim talk about, something very fundamental about Puravu, that it's, so to speak, the basis of the Torah. In a certain sense, Puravu is the foundation of the Torah. Not just in terms of chronology, but in terms of importance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a world to be populated, to build the world. Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Chesed is a code word for the relationship between husband and wife. Lo tohu v'ra, the Navi says, lo tohu v'ra, the world was not meant to remain tohu, to remain desolate. L'sheves Yisrael, the world is meant to be populated. So Hashem wants people to produce children. And that comes about through an intimate act of husband and wife. So the question is, let's read inside, Perish Rashi, Gzeres HaKosuv, we saw Rashi, it's Gzeres HaMelech, Shetit Ma'isha Bebiya, that a woman should become Tameh. It doesn't follow the regular rules of contact with Tumah, where the contact takes place on the outside. Divrei Rashi l'choraheim einu muvanim. What does Rashi mean when he says that it's a gezeras hamelech? In what way is this Tumah? I mean, we just explained the Pashup Shat. But in what way is it a gezeras hamelech? V'nekrava l'seichal, and to bring it closer to understanding, let's ask a very simple question. If Hashem commands us that husband and wife should be together, and Hashem even makes it a mitzvah, and Hashem makes it the first mitzvah. So how could it be that when a husband and wife are intimate with one another, they're tameh? How could there be a tumah that comes from the fulfillment of the mitzvah? That's the basic question that he asks. Kinei l'chora, it's a pela be'ena, he says. It's a pela be'ena adam. I don't understand. Al-matziv sa Torah l'tameh b'shech v'azara. How could the Torah assign a tumah to the very holy relationship? And we're not talking about a husband and wife if we're doing anything improper. A husband and wife, but Kedusha v'tara, being intimate with one another for the purpose of having a child. That's a very big mitzvah. It's a very chashuv and holy mitzvah. So how could it be that at the end of that act, says our parsha, says our pasuk, v'rachatzu b'mayim, they both need to go to the mikvah. They need to cleanse themselves from the act. That sounds very Christian. That doesn't sound like a Jewish idea. Judaism highlights the value of that closeness, of that intimacy. It's a mitzvah. Our priests aren't celibate. That's not a milah by us. Halohu tzivoy Hashem yisparach. It's a command of Hashem. How could there be a tumah that comes from the fulfillment of a mitzvah? That's the question. And you can see, obviously, again, the specific example here is a delicate one, but the general application is shayach to everyone here who is not yet married or not yet even engaged. Rak ha'ikarhu ki bavadai shech vazera inu matame. In truth, the act itself, the intimacy, the act itself shouldn't be metame. Why? Ki hu tzivoy Hashem yisparach. After all, it's a God-given commandment. Mitzvos make us holy. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. So what's the tumah? Raki efshar lo efshar la'adam lachnia hayetzer lahagbir alav. But it's essentially impossible for a person. Yeah, what did I do wrong? Oh, okay, so give me 2 seconds. No, you put your hand up. I thought like your page had like a different nosach or something. Okay, let's just finish the line and then I'll take your question. But obviously because of the physical pleasure and because of the nature of this mitzvah, so much so that in halacha, right, we categorically look at eating and sexual activity differently, that even if it was done in a more accidental manner, God forbid a person thinks that he's being intimate with his wife, and he wakes up the next morning and he realizes it was his sister by accident. I don't know how such a thing could happen, but if such a thing happened, right? So he wouldn't say, oh, onas, complete onas. Because there was a certain pleasure that he got from the act, so it's treated differently. Misasik, even if it was done haphazardly, is treated differently in halacha. The same thing is true for eating. Oh, I didn't realize that the substance I was eating wasn't kosher. Yeah, but you were still nehenna. You still got enjoyment from it. So says the Riditzvah, because this mitzvah is one that people enjoy physically, and because there is a strong taiva and yetzahara for it, so much so that the Gemara in Yoma says they considered destroying this yetzahara, they considered removing this yetzahara for arayos, shalolios choshev klal ha'naso rakamitzvah. It's essentially impossible for a person, even if he's trying to focus on, I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem by being with my wife, or doing it to produce a child, I'm in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Even when he tries to have all the right kavanas, there's still an element of his own enjoyment. And that creates a little bit of lo lishma in the matter. Because it's impossible for him to avoid any of his own enjoyment. And that's also part of what Hashem wants, right? But it also undermines a little bit in a very subtle way the mitzvah. And therefore, the shechva zera, right, the hotzas hazera, because it's kim'at impossible to do this mitzvah 100% with pure intentions, so because of that, it creates a little bit of a tumah. Now, I don't want to talk any more about this because it's not something to really be spoken about by Rabin, but it is because it's important for us to have this hashkafa. Right? But now let's talk about it more broadly with regard to every mitzvah. Do I do the mitzvah for Hashem or do I do it for myself? Two people could do the exact same activity on the outside and have very different intentions. Let's take a look. Let's hear your question. Yeah. Right. So what we're seeing is that and we'll have to think about that example a little bit more, right? But there's nothing in this world, and the Rav has actually a very strong piece about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, how the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is not an inherent Kedusha. There's a famous Mesha Chachma like that. When Moshe comes down and breaks the Luchos, you would say, Moshe, are you out of your mind? Pardon me for asking that question, but are you out of your mind? Who made the Luchos? Who prepared the stones, God? Who wrote the stones, God? What's more valuable? A Sefer Torah, which there are Baruch Hashem many of, or the Luchos? You'd say, the Luchos! An autographed copy, God's handiwork. And Moshe smashes the Luchos. What's the pshat? Why would Moshe smash the Luchos? Moshe was saying to Klai Yisrael, as the Mesha Chachma explains, and others have applied it to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Soloveitchik was a tremendous, tremendous lover of Eretz Yisrael and Medinas Yisrael. But the Rav said, everything will be defined, Baruch Hashem, it has been defined by tremendous growth in Torah and mitzvos. But the Rav said, and the Mesha Chachma says, there's no such thing as inherent Kedusha. Kedusha is perspective. Very interesting idea. There's a lot to talk about there. There's other Ma'amari Chazal and other sources to connect to it. Kedusha doesn't exist just because God says this is holy. Man has to partner with Hashem in making something holy. Which means if Hashem gives you luchos and you make an egel, Moshe says these luchos are worthless. What are you, worthless? God made these luchos. This is Hashem's luchos. Moshe is teaching Klal Yisrael, if you're not going to see them as a davar sheva kedusha, then they have no kedusha. That it's just rocks. And I'm not embarrassed to throw them on the ground. I'm not trying to make a point by throwing a holy thing on the ground. It's simply not holy. If the rocks of Eretz Yisrael are not imbued with our Torah and mitzvos, then they're just rocks. Then they're totally just rocks. There's a potential, obviously, that's there that's not found in other places in the world. And that's why Hashem loves Eretz Yisrael so much. But if we don't partner with Him, the Torah warns us. If we partner with Him, it'll flourish like no other land. If we treat it poorly, it'll fall apart like no other land. So yes, Paraduma is the ultimate paradox. And part of that ultimate paradox is how could something which seems to be the Spitz Madrig of Kedusha have any element of Tumah? Puravu is also a very, 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 very chashiv mitzvah. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us through His Torah that there's a Tumah that's associated with it. And the avoda of our life, again, both in terms of husband and wife, but also more broadly in terms of just doing everything that we do, is to constantly be trying to get closer to that impossible goal of 100% kavanah. That's the avoda. Yeah.
Isn't that with everything, though?
Yes.
So why after this?
Because this is the area that maybe is the hardest for a person to be 100%. Because in halacha, it's understood that there's chikei nehenah, that there's a certain physical pleasure that kim'at cannot be avoided.
Not
eating? What? Eating also. As I said, those are the two categories. Achila and arayos. This asik ba'achila and arayos has a different halachic category. Shkei nen. Yeah.
You get pleasure, meaning, from everything.
That's true. So good. So that's why we're going to stop talking about... Correct. Correct. Okay. Well, we'll have to see what that's... Right. Is that spiritual pleasure, self-serving pleasure? Is that a bodily pleasure? It is. but it may be a pleasure knowing that I'm doing God's will, as opposed to just something that feels good to my physical, on a physical sensation. So let's apply it more broadly. Let's move away from the specific example of our parsha. Let's apply it more broadly. Imagine a king, a very powerful and strong king. Imagine he has these two servants. Okay. And he hires these two noblemen, these two individuals. He asks them to perform a particular service on behalf of the king. And each one carries out the rule of the king, the decree of the king, exactly as commanded of him. But they had different intentions. What was their different intentions? One of them did it because my king, my master, our leader, has commanded me to do so. The second one says, I think that's a good idea, and I'm going to do it because it makes sense to me. It happens to be he was commanded by the king. But he's already now, he's put himself into the picture. And he says, actually, you know what? I enjoy doing this thing. I'm doing it because I enjoy it. He knows the king commanded him. He's also doing it because the king commanded him. But there's a tremendous sense of what? Of self-service in doing this behavior, this activity. And he's not thinking about his precious, beloved king. So the Berditch verse says, it's very clear to us what the distinction between these two individuals is. Halo shneim asu dvar melech. On the surface, you have two people doing the same thing. Two people performing the same activity. But the one who does it because the king commanded me, every tenua, every move that he makes is an expression of what? Of crowning the king. It's an expression of his bittul to the king. He's mamlich the king. Every tenua is mamlich the king. Every bit of that process, he's being mamlech the melech. V'zeh ha'sheni ba'is ha'soso dvar ha'melech eino mamlech ha'melech alav. The second one, superficially, he looks like he's doing the right thing, but he's not really mamlech. He's not really serving the king. Bechitzonius, he's serving the king. But I remind you of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rachman Aliva Bai. Hashem says, I'm not so interested in the chitzonius. The chitzonius has to be the kli to the pnimius. You can't just have the pnimius without the kli. But what I'm looking for is what's in the kli. I'm not just looking for the basket. I want to see what you fill the basket with. I want to see the kavana that went into it. I want to see the dveikus. I want to see the relationship that's forged and formed through the service. Right? So when a husband and wife are intimate with one another, sometimes they don't even stop to think about this at all. But when they do stop to think about this, when they realize, you know what, this is not just two lovers in an embrace, but this is two Jews who understand that there's nothing embarrassing about what we're doing. We're doing a very holy thing right now. And they're doing the Dvar HaMelech, even if they don't think about it very much. They're technically doing the Dvar HaMelech. Hashem commands them to be together. But there's obviously, needless to say, without any explanation, there's a tremendous danger that they'll do it because they enjoy it. And they don't have any... There's no sense of the melech being a part of the relationship. For that reason, they both become tame. And that's what Rashi meant. What was the lashon of Rashi? What did Rashi mean? Rashi says, again, Rashi explained to us, I'm not going to go over it again, but Rashi explained to us why it makes sense that a woman shouldn't be tame. And yet the pasuk says what? Vitam'u ad ha'arev. Rashi says, gezeras melechi. We don't understand the source of this. We don't understand why she should become Tameh. It's just a decree of the king. No, listen how the Berditcher is teaching Rashi. Vitam'u ad ha'arev, perish Rashi, hatam shechvazera metameh alzeh, perish gezeiras hamelech. Who? The reason the shechvazera is metameh is because even intimacy between husband and wife is supposed to be gezeiras. It's supposed to be gezeiras hamelech. It's supposed to be a fulfillment of a divine directive. However, but people don't have the means. Obviously, maybe the greatest of tzaddikim, maybe. Because people don't look at this as a fulfillment of a king, it takes time for a husband and wife to accept, to even believe that what we're doing is a holy thing. Everything Western culture has shown me about this, right, has led me, if I'm now a frum person, to think that this is an inappropriate thing. It's not at all inappropriate. It's 100% appropriate. Right? But the melech has to be a part of it. That HaKadosh Baruch has to be, so to speak, involved in the fulfillment of this mitzvah. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm doing a mitzvah. Yeah. Sure. You have the two servants of the king. One is doing the king's command because the king commanded it. Right? He doesn't particularly enjoy doing it, or even if he does enjoy doing it, he's not thinking about that at all. All he's thinking of is, my king has commanded me and I'm going to be a loyal subject and serve the king. The other one says, right, the king says, I command you to eat ice cream. I love ice cream. And every bite that he takes, he's enjoying the ice cream. He's not serving the king. Now, technically, the king commanded everyone on that day, you know, the yom ice cream, everyone should eat ice cream. But he's not thinking about his melech. One person with every bite is saying, I'm doing the ratzon of the king, I'm doing the ratzon of the king. The other guy's saying, I love the ice cream, I love the ice cream. So it's a question of your intentions. Am I doing it because God wants me to do it? Or am I doing it because it's self-serving and I enjoy it, and if God didn't tell me to do it, I would still want to do it. Yeah.
It reminds me of the mashal that Shisley gave in regards to why the perspective on why we aren't allowed to take pleasure out of the menorah.
Mm-hmm.
Hanukkah, the difference, there are two people that have the king at his home. One person is thinking about what the king will provide for me.
Right.
The other,
can I get out of this? Right.
You know, I'm just happy the king's with me.
Right. It's an honor to have the king, to be in the presence of the king. Right. Right. So exactly. So the focus should be not what do I get from this mitzvah, how does the mitzvah make me feel, but how do I give back to the melech? How do I serve the king through the fulfillment of the mitzvah?
How are you serving the king in that case?
And what? In husband and wife? Husband and wife, because you're saying I'm doing the mitzvah of Pururvo.
While you're getting enjoyment.
Well, that's exactly what he's saying. That's the challenge. The challenge is it's a mitzvah where it's very hard to do it solely l'shem shemayim. Right? It may be the hardest mitzvah in that regard. But there's a lot of mitzvahs like that. You know, the Chiddush Arim one time saw a yid who was eating a bowl of cholent on Shabbos. Right? And everybody was saying, L'chavit Shabbos Kodesh, L'chavit Shabbos Kodesh, L'chavit Shabbos Kodesh, every bite. So the Chiddush Arim said, yeah, Chiddush Arim, he knew he would hear him. So he said back, as he was eating, I think he was sitting by the Rebbe's table, I think he was trying to impress the Rebbe how everything he does with, you know, Kavana. L'chavit Shabbos Kodesh, L'chavit Shabbos Kodesh. Happens to be that it's really La'oneg Shabbos Kodesh. Kavod is the things we do before Shabbos, like the Vilna Gaon writes. In the Bir Hagra, the last siman in Hilchos Yom Tov, right? Kavod is before Shabbos, Oneg is on Shabbos. Okay, so really, you should say La'oneg Shabbos Kodesh, but people say La'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. When you taste the cholent before Shabbos, that's La'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. When I steal a piece of my wife's potato cook on Erev Shabbos, then I say La'kavod Shabbos Kodesh because I'm preparing for Shabbos. That's before Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's Oneg. Anyway, so the Chiddush Arim says took a bite. Oh, the Chavod mein boich. L'chavod my stomach. Come on, L'chavod Shabbos Kodesh. You're not eating the cholent L'chavod Shabbos Kodesh. You're L'chavod your stomach. Let's be honest here. Right? So again, the two people, the husband and wife, in our example, obviously they love each other, they like being close to each other. Right? And it's possible for them to also make sure that they're doing it the Kiddush of Atara, that Hashem has a place in all of the homes of all the parts of their home, including the bedroom. And yet, because it's so hard to do it solely l'shem shemayim, there's a tumma that resides. And again, the broad example is what I want you to walk away with more than anything else. I want you to walk away with the realization that the more we can do the mitzvah because Hashem asks us to do it, and less because it makes me feel good, even if the feel good is I feel good because I get olam hava. I feel good because I like to feel like a firm person. It makes me feel good when I'm a religious person. All of those reasons are secondary and create, again, a very small, a dakus. Dakus diktuma, very thin and small, a nuanced type of tuma, because of my inability to be wholeheartedly committed to the melech. Okay? Let's keep going. V'lachein tzarech adam lizar ma'od lasos hakol b'shvil kavanas habore. Okay, underline this line. Here's where he transitions again from the example of husband and wife to the broad application. Tzarich adam lizar me'od lasos hakol b'shvil kavanas habore. We need to try to do everything because it's service of Hashem. Haynu b'shvil mitzvah sabore, gzeiras hamelech, because God says so. K'maimer, Chazal, as the Gemara tells us, Magid la'odam masecho. Magid la'odam masecho, it's a pasuk in Amos. A person will be told masecho, what his words are. Or as some tzaddikim explain, masecho means, as Chafetz Chaim writes in an essay, masecho, what his words caused. Not just essecho, but masecho, what was caused by his words. Realize, your words are changing olamos. And the Gemara darshins, afilu sicha kala bein ish l'ishta, that even a simple conversation between husband and wife, right, is going to be something that has to be calculated, and there's going to be a cheshbon in the olam ha'emes. You know, what did you say? What type of words did you use? Even the very delicate and private language of husband and wife, a person's going to have to make an accounting for that, for every word that we said. Right? What do you mean? Come on, Hashem, stay out of my private areas, my private life. You want to hold me accountable for the way I talk in my work, the way I talk in the base medrash, the way I interact in the street? I understand. But is there no place in the world where I can... Now, the truth of the matter is, you know the Gemara, where one of the Talmidim was hiding under his Rebbe's bed, and he wanted to know how his Rebbe interacts with his wife. And his Rebbe says, "What on earth are you doing in my bedroom?" And he says, "Torah hi v'limud ani tzarich." This is also Torah, and I want to know, right? I want to hear what the conversation sounds like. I want to hear the type of diburim that you use when you're being with your wife. Okay, it sounds extremely strange to us, and it is a little strange to us, rightfully so. But you see that there's an accounting for every move that a person makes. Exactly. There's a sneeze in the bathroom. Exactly. Kumosha Kosev Ramabar Archaim Simon Aleph. Open up the Shulchan Aruch. How does a Jew live his life? The first thing you're going to see. The Ramah is going to introduce you to a statement by which a Jew lives. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamir. Right? Place Hashem before you at all times. Tilam Tazayim. Ki Eino Doma Tnuas Ha'adam Vasaka Vahula Vadob Besa. If you want to memorize this, you can listen. Aaron Razel has a song about it, so you can memorize the words. Nice. Aaron Razel? Brother of Yonatan Razel? It's a nice song. It's a very nice piano song. You can memorize the words. So, Shivizi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, V'chulu, he takes out a little bit here. Ki Eino Doma Tnua Sa'adam V'asaka V'hulu V'adob V'eso. Ki Yishivata Adam V'tunatav V'asaka V'hulu V'fnei Melech Gadol. Yeah, the way that a person acts in the privacy of his home is different than the way that a person acts when he's standing or sitting before the king. Kol shekein, kishiyasima adam alibo ki amelech malchus shel olam, melech malchei amlochim omi d'lav rav ma'isav. All the more so when I recognize and reflect on the fact that God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of all kings, is watching my every move. Shenemar im yisaser ish b'mistarim v'ani lo arenu, nu Hashem. This in the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. That's where this whole passage is from. Navi Yirmiyah said, "Im yisaser ish b'mistarim." If a man will say, "Sir, hide himself in a hiding place," vanilar. And no rhetorical question. Will I not see him? Says God. There's no place. There's no action. There's no move that we make that Hashem doesn't see. And therefore, Chazal warned us in this week's Pirkei Avos: "Da malam malam imcha, know that which is above you, ayin roa, ozen shomas, an eye that watches, an ear that hears." What's the end of the Maamar Chazal? V'chol maasecha b'sefer nechtavim. All of your actions are being recorded in the book. So he says, "Let me ask you a question on this Mishnah Pirkei Avos." Yeah, listen to this. Ki advarim ein lam shachar, but amram dam alam alam imcha. Know what is above you. Ki ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hovering just on top of my head. Above me? How about above everything? Know what is above everything? It should say. V'alo Hashem Yisparchu lamal mikol olamos mikol asraf mikol achayas hakodesh. Why does it say, "No, it's above you"? I mean, yeah, it's also above me. But why do we highlight the fact that Hashem is above everything? He's beyond. He's soviv kol alman. He surrounds all worlds. He's beyond and above all worlds. What's da mala mala mimcha? No, in the specific, what's above you? Before we do that, let's answer and explain a pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Daled. Eine Hashem el tzadikim va'oznav el shavasam. The eyes of Hashem are upon the tzadikim, and his ears hear their pleas, their cries. Dilchora, again, I'll ask you, it's a pella. Yifla be'enei adam alamare hazeh shachos v'sham lachshav zos. Isn't this a dangerous pasuk? God's eyes, God's ears. Obviously, there are many psukim like this. But he's going to use this one specifically to get the answer to that very important general theological question. God doesn't have a body. That's what we believe as Jews. Not all the Rishonim believe that, by the way. But it's accepted, certainly, b'zman hazeh. We don't think that Hashem has a body. Ki alo kol adam tzarach lahamin, she'ein lo demos haguf, in the language of the Rambam. In the Rambam in Chelek, in Sanhedrin. Raki David HaMelech alav ha-shalom, kivin le-davar galo ma'od b'dvar malalu. Obviously, David HaMelech knows what he's talking about. So when David talks about Hashem's eyes are upon the tzaddikim, and his ears listen to the cries of the tzaddikim, what's David HaMelech talking about? It goes against one of the 13 principles of faith as spelled out by Maimonides. What's the pshat? Why would we write such a confusing pasuk? Why do we talk about God's body parts if God doesn't have a body? So he explains. Hina isa b'medrash. We've seen this statement of Chazal. I use Chazal here loosely because it's not, I don't think it's dafka a Chazal. Right? But it's brought in the names of the Svar Makadosha. The Shalab brings it. On the pasuk, Hashem tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. We've seen this before. Kimasha Adam Osa Hatzel Osa Tnuasa Adam. Just like your shadow mimics you, so Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. Hashem follows your lead. Hashem Adam Osa Ken Hatzel Osa Achrav Kasiyasu V'Chavayasu. Just like your shadow mimics your movements, your motions, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows the tone that you set in the relationship. If it's nice with what we learned yesterday about the Isha, right, being motivated to reach out towards her husband. That Knesset Yisrael shouldn't sit back and wait for Hashem to save us, but we should partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in Torah and Mitzvos and Geula. Kein kisha adam oredas Hashem borei kol ha'olamim, azay masha tzadik osa lamata kol tenua utenua nasas lamala. The move that a tzadik makes below is mimicked, kiviyachol, by a Kadosh Baruch Hu above. Rabbi Nachman believed in Jews so much, va'amei chulam tzadikim, like the Navi Yeshaya said, every Jew is a tzaddik, which means every move that we make, it does something in the heavens. Rabbi Nachman said, a Yid sits twirling his payas, and the olamos are spinning. Rav Matl Chernobler has a similar statement also. A Jew moves his finger, and the olamos shift. It's very frightening. You know, when you read something like that, you're like, I have to think a lot before. Okay, but there were tzaddikim, yeah, who literally made a cheshbon on their blinking. They were aware of their blinking. They blinked their eyes with kavanah. Obviously, they took steps with Kavanah. They ate every bite with Kavanah. Okay. There are tzaddikim like this. So what the tzaddik does below, and again, on some level, everyone's a tzaddik. Again, the more mindful we are, the more we achieve this. So every move that we make, it's mirrored above. It's reflected above. Everything the tzaddik says, everything the tzaddik does, It creates a hashpa on the heavens. Leaves a mark on the heavens. Kamo shekasu b'zohar, as it says in the Zohar Kadosh, ki b'chol laila v'laila kashen ha-shama shel ha-tzadik holeches l'malo, and the soul of the tzadik is traveling through the upper realms, as kol ha-malachim achrizin, all the angels say, ah, we know you. We've seen your accomplishments before. Really? All the way down there? No, up here. We saw the mark that you left on the heavens. The angels are machers. They call out, Havu yakar li diyukta d'malka. Oh, we know this one. This one looks like the king. This guy's a relative of the king. We've seen this guy before. We know who he is. It's unbelievable. Uvederach mashal. Leben cha'osa davar chachma lefi hasagasa. Imagine a child who does something according to his understanding. Oza'av mispar atzom b'chachma satinok. We've seen this also many times in Kedushas Levi. That the father rejoices in the child's understanding of things. He sees his son growing in understanding. Hagam shalufi seichel ha'av hadavar hazeh eino chachma klal. Even though for the father, it's not such a big chachma. It's not such a big chachma. But when he sees his little son understanding things for the first time, it is the most delightful feeling in the world. I literally had this yesterday when I came home. Yaakov was in such a good mood, such a cute mood. And he showed me, he had, there's like this thing hanging in his room that says tzaddik on it. He's like, look, daddy, tain tziyud, tain tziyud. He's pointing to you, he's writing to yud, because his name is Yaakov, starts with yud. Look, daddy, I found one, a tain tziyud. Right? Now, I know he knows the letter yud. We look at it a lot. We talk about it. Right? But when he finds it, he has that huge smile on his face. Your heart's overflowing with, like, thank you so much, Hashem, for this gift of a child. Wow, it's an amazing thing to watch. He pointed out a letter that I already knew that he knew. But he saw it, he found it in a new place. You know? It's the most gewaldic feeling. So when the father sees the child growing in his understanding, recognizing the world around him, again, the brilliance of the child, who's not so actually objectively brilliant yet, hagam shalafi seich la'av adavar hazeh eino chach b'klal, even though according to the father, it's really not that scholarly or impressive. Rak'af al pichein lafi seich la'ben, but in accordance with the child who's 5 years old, ben heishanim hazeh adavar u'chachma. My son's learning a pasuk of chumash for the first time. He's 5 years old now. He's not my son. I'm saying the father and the mashal. Kain anu nikram banu lemakom. So again, we're called Hashem's children. When we serve Him, Hashem says gavaldik. Remember yesterday the talking bird? It's a big chiddush. It's a wondrous thing. Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. Now look at this. Only the Riddich can write the next three lines. Look what he writes here. He speaks on behalf of Hashem. He tells you what Hashem says. You know who does this a lot also? Who else does this a lot? Anyone, you know any tzaddikim who say, Hashem says to you when you... The Piazester Rebbe does it a lot. Piazester says, Hashem says to you, you're my child, and I love you. He talks a lot. It's a big thing to quote Hashem. L'chein Hashem yisbarach baruch hu mispar atzma l'mala b'chachma satinok. Hashem delights in the wisdom of His Son. V'omer l'kol pamal yashamala. Hashem turns to the angels, and Hashem declares, take a look. Re'u b'ni shigidalti. Look at my son, who's grown, who I've grown, who I've educated, who I've nurtured. Look at my son. Va'omer l'chol pamayish v'al re'u b'ni shigidalti. Shemechavin es atzmo l'malos ritzoni v'chefzi she'akav menu tanuk. Look how my son is doing my will. He's going in my derech. He's doing things that I ask of him to do in order to fulfill my desire and to give me pleasure, says Hashem. Zeu kol magamosav. And that's all he wants in this world. That's the only thing that he wants. That I, his father, should have nachas ruach. We say a pasuk, Yimali Hashem kol mishal osecha. It's mamish the two avadim in our mashal. Going back to the previous mashal. There's the eved who does it for Hashem, there's the eved who does it for himself. How do you touch the pasuk, Yimali Hashem kol mishal osecha? So the simple pshat is it's a tefillah for oneself, which has a place. Yimali Hashem kol mishal osecha means what? Hashem should fulfill all of your requests. What's the deeper way, the way to read it with greater pnimius? Yimali Hashem, that Hashem should have His fill, that is kol mishal asecha. That's my only desire. My only desire is that Hashem's presence should be full in the world. That Hashem should feel fully satisfied when He looks at me, His child. Yimali Hashem, that Hashem should have all that He needs, kiviyachol. That is kol mishal asecha. It's not about what I need. It's about helping me to restore the Shechinah from its place of galus. Hashem yichud kutshabrichu shchinte. To get everything back in place. That's my greatest desire. To be mamale, that yichud is my greatest desire. V'nimtza masha adam oseh tov im ha'ayin. So therefore, let's go back to our question. We have a couple of very big questions on the table. So, one of the big questions was, again, a question of basic hashkafa. What does it mean that Hashem has eyes and Hashem has ears and God doesn't? We believe, like the Rambam, that He doesn't. Says the Berditcher Nimtza, Masha Adam Ose Tov Him Ayin. When I use my eye in the right way, Hashem Tzilcha. There's an eye above, so to speak, corresponds to my eye below. I create it. Hashem Tzilcha. God is my shadow. Oza Ayin Chokuk L'mal Lasos L'Hashem Yisbarach Baruch Hu Nachas Ruach Mizah Ayin. That's what we call God's eye. God doesn't have eyes in the way that we have eyes. But when I use my physical eyes of flesh and blood to see in a good Torah dick away, so that creates an eye in the sky. It creates an eye in Shemayim. And that's called Hashem's eye. Right? It's not a physical eye that'll rot in the grave one day. It's a permanent eye. It's a nitzchias eye. Okay? So that eye is chokuk, that eye is chokuk l'malo. Lasos la Hashem is baruch baruchu nachas ruach mizeh ayin. that Hashem should get pleasure from that eye. When I use my ears in the right way, you know what that does? And I guard my limbs, that each part of my body, my fingers should be used in the right way, my feet should be used in the right way, my heart should be in the right place, my mind should be in the right place, and all my senses should be used properly. When I do everything in the right way, and I'm guarded, shalom lishmoa, davar leitzanis, not to hear disgusting words, nivol pechas v'shalom, oza ozen chachuk l'mala. Going back to that Zohar that we quoted, when the tzaddik comes upstairs, they say, oh, there's a picture of you here already. Your eyes and your ears and your legs and your arms, they're all here already. You've already created that spiritual copy of who you are down below. That's what Chazal say in the Medrash. You've heard this Maamar Chazal before, but you never understood it like this. What does it mean, Yaakov Avinu's image is on Hashem's throne? Our avodah is to paint a picture of ourselves above based on proper performance below. Yes, he was an Eved who serves the Kadosh Baruch Hu properly. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu, lo meis. Yaakov didn't die. So the Gemara asks, well, why did they bury him then? Why did they embalm him? He didn't die in the sense that, well, his physical image died down here, but the eternal replica of Yaakov lives on above, forever, with all of its pieces. Nothing's missing. Like the Chafetz Chaim writes in the beginning of the third volume of the Mishnah Berurah. In the third chelik of the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim says every mitzvah has a corresponding what? Has a corresponding body part. And God forbid, failure to do that mitzvah will leave you missing that limb in the world of truth. Obviously, he says some organs are more vital than others. Your heart, your mind. Some mitzvahs, Shabbos, whatever mitzvahs are assigned to the vital organs. Sometimes the Shabbos is one of them, certainly. You can't live without. Not that you'd want to live without your pinky either. Right? But it's embarrassing, but you could live without it. Right? All the more so if you don't have those mitzvahs that are the most essential, whatever they may be, you're in big trouble. That's what it means. Hashem el tzaddikim. The eyes of Hashem are what? To the tzaddikim. What does that mean, to the tzaddikim? Yes. The eye, the spiritual eye of Hashem is created by the tzaddikim. Klomar, read it as a question. Meheichan einei Hashem. From where do God's eyes come from? God doesn't have eyes. That's a basic principle of Jewish faith. Al ze omar mea tzaddikim. She'osim tovim ha'ayin. If you'll ask, Klomar meheichan heim oznov, where does God have ears? I thought God doesn't have ears. Also from the tzaddikim, the way that they act creates the eyes and creates the ears, kiviyachol. Klomar, me'elu sheim tzoakim la'Hashem yisparach va'odim oso, those who cry out to Hashem. Those who use their body parts in the right way. Nimtza osin tovim ha'ozen. Right? That they hear, they're not just whispering tefillos quietly, but they say the tefillos out loud. Hishama la'oznecha ma'ashata mosim v'picha. They can hear their own cries. Well, that creates an ear in Shemayim to hear your cry as well. Ki kishu espalim ha'peh tzarech la'shmiel la'oznev. Ma'ashu motim v'piv. The Mishnah and discussion brachos tazayin. U'mishum hachi ha'ozen chokuk l'mal. And that creates the ear on high. So when we're too stupid to use our eyes in the right way, we fall into silly traps of looking at things we shouldn't look at, or having a perspective that's not a Jewish perspective, and the eye above is blinded, it's closed off. When I use my eyes right, it opens. It opens that eye above. Hashem sees me how I see Him. Hashem Tzilcha. God is my shadow. And that's the pshat of the pasuk in Daniel. Daniel Perek Tes, Hatei Elokai Oznecha Ushama. Hashem, please, tilt your ear towards me and listen. Pekach Einecha Urei. Hashem, please, look at me. Listen to me. What are we asking for? Klomar. Shasinu Ad Achsha Dvarim Ra Ma'ayin. Yes, I know that my eyes are not what they're supposed to be. Which means, Hashem, you're going to close your eyes. I'm going to close my eyes. Close the eyes that I gave you. I gave you broken eyes. And I gave you broken ears. But I'm begging you, despite the fact that I'm unworthy, nimtza ayin stuma lamal, despite the fact that I've shut down Hashem's eyes, I'm begging you, Hashem, have rachmanis on me and open the eye above that doesn't deserve to pay attention to me. So now we come back to our other question. What was our other question? What was our question in Pirkei Avos? Know what is above you. Why say that? Say, know what is above everything. An eye that watches, an ear that hears, and everything is recorded in the book. V'zehu kavanas chazal. Do ma l'mala mimcha. Klomar. Do ma l'mala mimcha. Klomar. Mashu l'mala hakol mimcha. Mashu l'mala hakol mimcha. Underline it. It's chashiv. Mashu l'mala, whatever exists above, hakol mimcha. If Hashem's going to see you, it's up to how much you see Him. If Hashem's going to hear you, it's up to how much you hear Him. Mimasha'ata osa l'mata kein chakuk l'mala. That's a scary thought, but it's also very, very empowering. If I do a good job to pay attention to Him, I'm guaranteed that He'll pay attention to me. If I listen to Him, He'll listen to me. If I look at Him, He'll look at me. V'teida, ayin ro v'ozen shomas. Right, that eye and that ear that's being described in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Know that which is above, which is created by you. What is it? An eye that watches, an ear that hears. Klomer sha'ayin shomala. And if you'll ask, where do an eye and an ear have a place in the higher realms? There's no such thing. It comes from you. That which is above, mimcha. It's from you. You create it. It all comes from you. Okay? Ad kan, the first piece. He has one more pshat in Dama Lamala Mimcha, which I'm very proud and happy to share with you on a day like today, when many, many Jews around the world are celebrating the great gift of Medinas Yisrael and reflecting on the bracha we have today of our ability to go to Eretz Yisrael and to be makir tov for that. So let's learn one more pshat. Let's finish out the piece. And it fits so beautifully with the Hakaras HaTov that, again, we're trying to properly, with a kavana amitis, feel today. Uva'ofen acher al zeh nira v'hu al pi maimer chazal on Shabbos. We can explain maybe da ma'al ma'al mimcha in another way, very, very b'derech avoda, very practical. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Shabba ger lisgar lehillel. A ger, a potential convert, came to Hillel. Va'amar lamdeini kol ha-Torah kula, k'shani omid al regel echad. Please teach me the entirety of the Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Whatever exactly that means. So he says, okay, you want me to sum up the Torah in one idea? Amar lei, ma da'alach sonei. He says to him in Aramaic, Hillel was a man of the people. You see that he always speaks in Aramaic. And Pirkei Avos also. We saw it last week in the first parak. Hillel says what? Nigod Shema Avad Shemei. D'lo Mosif Yosef. D'lo Yalif Ketal Achayev. Everything he's saying is in, not speaking in Hebrew. So the Sfarim explained, Aramaic is the language of the simple folk. So Hillel says to him, in Aramaic, Ma da'alach sonei, what to you is despised, l'chaveirach lo savid. Don't do it to your friend. Don't do to others what you wouldn't want done to you. That's the entirety of the Torah. It really is, if you think about it. Look how he explains it. Says the Berditchver, let me give you a big, big mussar of what it means to be makir tov. Don't do to someone else. Don't do to someone else what you wouldn't want done to you. Let me just read you Rashi, Mesech HaShabbos, on that line in the Gemara we just read. What did Hillel say to him? What you don't want done to you, don't do to your friend. You know what Rashi says? You might be shocked to hear this. You know who your friend is? Hashem. Of course, the Pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei Chav Zayin says, Re'acha v're'a avicha al tazov. Your friend and your father's friend, do not abandon. Says Rashi, Shabbos daf lamed aleph amed aleph, zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hillel was saying to him, you want to hear the whole Torah in one sentence? Be good to God. Couched in the expression, be nice to your friends. And Hashem is your friend. So if you ever meet someone who says, God's not your friend, say, you're wrong. You're not correct. God is my friend. God is my friend. Re'acha. Re'avicha al tazo. Mishlei Chav Zayin. Ryan Shabbos Lamed Aleph. There are other sources as well. Okay? So here's the mussar, says the Berditchver. You want to learn a simple mussar? Be good to the one who's good to you. Be good to the one who's good to you. Is Hashem good to you? Let's be honest. Did you wake up this morning? Is your heart beating right now? Are you able to breathe? Are you able to see me? Is anyone here who can't see me? With glasses or without glasses? We got a lot of things going right for ourselves right in this moment. So therefore, Hillel says, be good to your friend. Imagine I said to you, Max, I have something in my pocket for you, and I pull out a $10,000 check, and I just give it to you, because you're my friend. I say, Rabbi, what did I do? No, you're my friend, I want you to have it. You would feel a tremendous sense of akaras hatov to me. And if you didn't, right, something's off. We would both feel something's not right here. Ve'eino machzik lo tova l'malas ritzono. If a person gives someone else a tremendous gift, and he doesn't say thank you, he doesn't reciprocate, not in words, not in action, I would be very upset. I'd be very hurt by that. How could it be? He didn't appreciate what I did for him. Right? That's a normal human response. K'maymer Chazal, the Gemara says in Bava Kama, Bira, the Shas is Minei Maya, Lotishte Ben Kala. A well that you drank water from, don't throw a rock into it. Be kind to the one who's kind to you. Whether it's God, whether it's a person, whether it's an inanimate object. As we see from Moshe Rabbeinu's inability to bring about some of the makos. Mikol shekein haborei shenosin la'adam koach u'gvura v'ruach u'neshama. All the more so a million times over. Hashem who gave us what? Strength. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Gevura, like we learned earlier in the week from Rav Soloveitchik, what Gevura really means. Ruach, Neshama, V'char Hu B'stalik Ishtar Kegufa B'lo Nishmasa. And when God takes back His Shefa, in other words, when God withdraws the part of you which is really Him, namely the Neshama that He lends you, Elokai Neshama Shenasatabi, when Hashem takes it back, your body is nothing on its own. Ubaro So La'avodo So, and Hashem made me in order to serve Him. So a Jew who doesn't do what Hashem asks of him, next time you're talking to one of your friends who's not particularly observant, you're trying to find an angle, try to find an angle by which to get him to be open to Torah and mitzvahs. Maybe consider this angle. Do you know what God does for you? Ever stop and think about it? Do you know how rude it is for you not to... Do you know how complicated the digestive system and processes? Is it really so hard for you, even me suffic, you're not 100% convinced that there's a God in the world? Is it really so hard for you to pause for 10 seconds and say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaro? Is that so hard to remember? Are you such an ungrateful person that you can't take it upon yourself to do that? I understand, you're not ready to do everything. But is it so impossible for you to believe in the possibility there might be a creator in the world? Is it so hard if you just offer a simple thanks? It's not even a religious statement. It's just thank you. Thank you. There's people who every time they put a bite of food in their body, it's a painful process. And I eat and I feel fine. I know how to eat. I know how to chew. I know how to swallow. There's so much to think about. So he says, how could it be that a person is given the ultimate gift of life by Hashem and we don't serve him? Just as a thank you. As a simplistic thank you for making me. How would you feel about the guy who created a job in his company for you so you can have a job which you didn't really need? He found a way to make a job for you, and he found a way to pay you, and then you climb the ranks and you become your own, you know, your own company. You have your own real estate company now, and you never really stop to thank the guy who got you started. And now you're a big shot. And now you're hiring other people. And you can't understand why your intern's not thankful enough for the summer experience you gave him. You were the same way. And you would feel terrible. You'd feel terrible if you weren't paid back in some way for all the efforts you made on behalf of another person. Why do you think the mitzvah of Kibbut Ava Aim is such a weighty mitzvah in the Torah? Parents do so much for us. We have to stop and say thank you. Klomer, de'im hayahu ose la'adam tova. V'loyim machzik lo tova. You did a favor for someone. And the person didn't say thank you. Azai hayachara apa ma'od ba'adamo. You'd be so upset. But God doesn't have a right to be upset. You do the same thing when you don't say thank you to Hashem. Avor shenosin bo koach v'nefesh ruach v'neshama. So we're just as guilty. And we should feel just as bad. V'nimtza adam yikach raya me'atzmo. And therefore,
Say Chazal, to deep pshat in Pirkei Avos. Learn from yourself. Learn how to serve Hashem from the way that you would interact with another human being. If I did a big favor for you, and you didn't say thank you, I would be hurt. If you did a big favor for me, and I didn't say thank you, you would be hurt. So learn from that in your relationship with Hashem. Take a raya, learn a proof from there. Duhu lamata, what's happening here in this world below, realize the same thing should be above. It's the exact same way it should be above. He says in the final paragraph, V'zeu kavanas maimer chazal do malamala mimcha. Know how to interact with the one above from the way that you interact with people down below. That's what Hillel was teaching the convert. What you don't like when people do to you, when people don't treat you fairly and respectfully, don't do that to God. Have a little hakar satov for Hashem. Klomar masha tachzik tova laborehu lemala mimcha. You want to know how, to what degree am I indebted to Hashem? Mimcha, learn from you. To whatever degree you expect to be paid back for your efforts on behalf of another human being, which is true for all of us, that alachas kam v'kama to Hashem. Klomar tovi raya mimcha, bring a proof from yourself. Shem adam hayelo tova mimcha, if someone received goodness from you, v'loya machzik l'cha tova, and didn't repay you, with their thanks at least, azai hayachar l'chamod, you'd be very upset. So all the more so, we need to be thankful for the infinite kindness that Hashem has bestowed upon us. To be thankful to the one who created you. And again, on a day like today, where people are trying to pause and reflect on a gift that we've been given in the modern era, namely Eretz Yisrael, as we know it today, it's a very fitting piece for us to stop and think, to what degree have I said thank you to Hashem for everything? To what degree have I stopped to thank my wife, my children, my parents, my grandparents? I may be much more religious than them, but it was their little bit of Yiddishkeit that got me to my lot of bit of Yiddishkeit. I have to feel an unbelievable. If they would have made a few different choices, I never would have made it. I would be a kid in public school right now. I never would have had this opportunity. Okay, so to da mala mala, to what degree do I feel I owe it to Hashem? Mimcha, just ask yourself, what do you expect in your interpersonal relationships with people? And apply that to your relationship with Hashem. Okay? All right. Yashar Koach. Stop here.